Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump holding talks with Ukraine's President Zelensky, the president pushing for Russia to end the war in Ukraine, telling reporters he had a good talk with Russia's leader yesterday, and also mentioned Ukraine could get long-range missiles.
We're going to be talking about Tomahawks and would much rather have them not need Tomahawks. Would much rather have the war be over.
The president says he'll meet with Russia's president in Hungary in the coming weeks. A royal fallout for Prince Andrew, putting out a statement today that he's giving up his title and honors. Andrew says it comes after a discussion with King Charles and his family about ongoing accusations that distract from the work of His Majesty and the royal family. Andrew continues to face allegations of maintaining ties with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. He'll still be able to use the title of Prince. It's day 17 of the government shutdown. Senate lawmakers returning Monday, hopefully to take up another vote on a stopgap measure. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The state of education funding is being felt in the legislature. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
70% of school districts are facing a drop in general state aid, according to full data from the Department of Public Instruction. For years, teachers and administrators have advocated for more money and for updates to the state funding formula. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says per pupil spending in Wisconsin has lagged behind inflation and behind the national average. Their researchers credit a 2011 change that dropped school revenue limits by 5.5%, a Republican-authored bill that became law under Governor Scott Walker. As they've been in charge of the legislature, Republicans have also focused on lowering property taxes. However, so many school districts are struggling to make ends meet that we're seeing record numbers of referendums on the ballot. Residents are often choosing to raise their own property taxes just to fund their schools. State Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin, a Democrat from the 8th Senate District.
Due to the legislature's failure to fund our schools, Wisconsin already has one of the highest property tax rates in the country. And if our communities continue to be forced to referendum, those tax rates will continue to rise, making our state even more expensive than it already is.
Last year, there were 241 school referendums held across Wisconsin, the most ever. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
October is the start of high school football playoffs, and this season, for the first time, teams will qualify using a new system. The new system, which was supported by nearly 90% of coaches before implementation, essentially rewards teams that win, and especially by defeating good teams. The A-player playoff bracket was announced last Saturday, with the 11-player playoff bracket to be announced this Saturday. You can see more information, including how the new system works, on the WIAA website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and a guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky for your Friday afternoon. Breezy southwest winds nearly to 25. Some showers looking likely, even a couple of thunderstorms into the late afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, showers and storms likely, lower 50s. It's 75 at our studios.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Alba Show for this Friday, October 17th, 2025. 6 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. We start the show on this Friday with breaking news, along with producer-engineer Aaron Zommers. We welcome you in. Lots to get to today, but making the news headlines about an hour ago, our very own Jimmy Cuska reporting this initially as part of his role is calling sporting events for the UW-Platteville Athletic Department. Therefore, Jimmy is on the UW-Platteville official mailing list. He first let us know this news, and now Channel 3000, WISC-TV, the CBS affiliate here in Platteville. The headline this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo Sauk County campus is closing in the spring semester after the spring semester of 2026. Here's the story, courtesy of Channel 3000, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville will be ceasing operations on its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd, 2026. The decision came after, quote, careful considerations, unquote, that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Officials said that the spring 2026 semester will continue as planned with in-person classes at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. UW-Platteville is set to help students transition to the main campus. The university will develop individualized plans for the staff and faculty. The statement coming from UW-Platteville Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich says, quote, this decision was not made lightly. Enrollment continues to decline on that campus, and we are committed to being good partners with the city and county by ensuring that the campus can be used in ways that best serve the region. We remain dedicated to supporting our students, faculty, and staff through the transition. Student success is at the heart of our mission, and it goes on from there, unquote. That are the words of the UW-Platteville Chancellor, which oversees UW-Baraboo as well. The campus opened in 1968, and, of course, comes after the first of the two-year campuses in the UW system, one of 13 at the time, the University of Wisconsin, Center Richland. We were there when that news first broke. And subsequently, by my count, and I'll stand corrected, by my count, this is now the seventh of the 13 two-year campuses that will be closed under the tenure of the University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman and during the term of Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Joining us to discuss this breaking news via telephone from his home in Richland Center, the former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader, Republican Dale Schultz, who also served in as many roles over his time in the legislature as the chair of the Higher Education Committee in the state Senate, which oversees both the UW system and the technical college system in this state. And, of course, he spent time on the powerful Joint Finance Committee. Dale, and in full disclosure, I was Dale's chief of staff for a time as well. Dale, good afternoon. Thank you for making time on this disturbing news afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. This is indeed disturbing news. You know, I was always very proud of the University of Wisconsin when it believed that the borders of the university are the borders of the state. And with each campus that closes, those borders shrink in size, and the students, the traditional and non-traditional students who depended on these campuses, find themselves being left high and dry. And for a state that once prided itself on its educational prowess, it is indeed a sad day. And you know what is so insulting is that once again, the university board of regents and administration didn't hold a public discussion and forum. And yes, they dropped the news late on Friday, where all news goes to the graveyard as quickly as possible.
Dale, you represented, correct me if I'm wrong, over your 30-plus years in the state legislature, the assembly, and the state senate, you always either represented UW-Baraboo, UW-Richland, or UW-Platteville, or at one time, I think, all three. So you're keenly aware of the needs and the resources of these universities in southwest Wisconsin. And it would seem to me, and what I find to be particularly disingenuous in this is Chancellor Avedovich saying that they're going to be there to help the community transition. We know that UW-Richland County, another very financially strained county where you're at, I'm from, and Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz got $2 million in the last budget through the Joint Finance Committee to help Richland County, quote-unquote, transition. But the untold story is Richland County had to take over $1 million of that just to build a new bridge to get the equipment onto campus to help do some of these things that need to be done. Where is the promise for actual dollars for Sauk County, Dale? And talk to us a little bit about, about this. Sauk County taxpayers have already allocated resources that were very needed for their county nursing home because they were told that if they did that, the UW system in Platteville would work to save this Baraboo campus.
Well, that's pretty much the story. And I think once again, the rug was pulled out from underneath folks and people in this area who are worried about the economy like they are in many places in this country, particularly young people. The ability to be job worthy depends on continuing education and access to education. And this just is another nail in the coffin. And it means that rural areas and smaller communities are going to not prosper like they should. I mean, I don't know that I can say that these communities will dry up and blow away, but I do know that they've invested considerable money, resources, time in trying to make this a cornerstone of industrial development, tourism, and a way to bring young people back to these communities. And now it appears to be for naught.
We're talking with former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz of Richland Center, a Republican, also served as the chair of the Senate Higher Education Committee, about this breaking news that UW System and UW Platteville have announced that UW Baraboo, the two-year college there connected to UW Platteville, will be closing after May of this coming year. Dale, one more question on this. I want to move to one other breaking news story or hot news story of the day. On this campus thing, You've been in the legislature, you've seen the importance. I know you understand the importance of higher education for rural counties. But what do you make? I want to go back to something you said earlier. What do you make of President Jay Rothman never setting foot in Richland County and talking with local elected leaders or campus people? I don't see any evidence that he did so at
in Sauk County for this Baraboo campus. I haven't found evidence he's done it at any other of the two-year colleges that he's closed. And even Democratic Governor Tony Evers, we never hear anything. All we hear is this excuse of, well, the enrollment is low. Well, 178 people at the Baraboo campus might be down, but it wasn't like it was 50-something at Richland. And the system never provided monies for a recruiter for these colleges. Why isn't there more transparency on both the UW system part, on the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee, and Governor Evers?
For many years, the system was engaged in enrollment management. And somebody decided they weren't going to do anymore. And I assume it was since there wasn't support or enough support for the university from the state, they had to turn to more lucrative ways of getting the money from students, were from out of state. And again, what that does to the students in this state overall is it means that they have less opportunities. And, you know, it's getting to the point where there isn't any mystery why people are upset and angry about government in all its respects. It's just hard to trust anybody. They never carry through on their word. They don't seem to be interested. You know, it's just a bunch of folks who think they have all the answers and they don't need to listen to anybody. People want a seat at the table. They want an opportunity to discuss what's important to them and the issues that are important to them, and they don't seem to get it. Folks want to brush things under the rug. They want to provide, you know, the complete transparency. And in the end, it leaves the general public, with a bad taste in their mouth. And what it looks to me is further evidence of bad leadership.
Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader for Wisconsin, on the phone with us. I want to get your comments on one other story that's been breaking over the last 24 to 40 hours. The Capital Times breaking a story on Department of Public Instruction here in Wisconsin. Headline, 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases here in the state of Wisconsin shielded from the public. And this is a lengthy story. It's a disturbing story. The gist of it is that over 200 cases of licensed, both teachers, aides, support staff, were investigated for sexual misconduct in the state and was never brought into the light of day. The Capital Times, the reporting, found at least 44% of the Department of Public Instruction's over 450 educator license investigations since 2018 involved sexual misconduct and grooming allegations. Here's what's odd to me is that Superintendent Dr. Jill Underly declined requests for this interview with the Capital Times, saying that, quote, it would create a conflict of interest, unquote, since Underly oversees educator licenses. That's according to her spokesperson, Chris Boucher. Dale, it's a disturbing story, but just your general comments on this reporting by the Capital Times and the reaction or non-reaction of Superintendent Underly. 2 minutes.
Well, I think that the Capital Times deserves everyone in this state's gratitude for their aggressive reporting and getting to the issues that really concern people these days. With the Joseph Epstein thing in Washington, D.C., people have begun to believe that we are pedophiles everywhere. Now, the facts have yet to come out and should come out on every single one of these cases. Perhaps some are real grooming type problems. Others might just be blown out of proportion issues. But every one of them deserves a thorough and transparent discovery process. And it looks to me like here again in Madison, we've missed the opportunity to bring Republicans and Democrats together on something which is not partisan, and to sit them down and say, let's sort this out. Let's put in place some policies, procedures, and laws to make sure that Wisconsin isn't in this position again. You know, once upon a time, we were proud in this state of what people everywhere thought of our educational systems and schools. And it just seems, you know, these two stories, you know, again, are just more chinks in the armor that made us something that was special. And that's too bad because we're better than that. We deserve better than that. And I hope that the governor will provide the leadership and the legislature
Dale Schultz,
will come together.
Up against the clock. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Come on back. We'll discuss both these breaking news stories on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025, 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Not a lot of fun in this hour, but we'll get to it in hour number two. Coming up in hour number two, Craig Benzine and Ty Morris of No Packers, No Life, great film. Going to be here briefly talking about their latest screening coming up this weekend, tomorrow, maybe one tonight as well, but tomorrow here in Madison, we'll talk with them. A brand new segment we're calling Wisconsin Fun Fact. What's worse? Are you an allergy person? We'll talk about that. And Peter Rapine rounds out the show, the managing editor of EPOM's World, with a humorous look at the weekend review. But for some huge news day for a Friday, as often is the case, and taking your calls on it, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. First, this breaking news, courtesy of Channel3000.com. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville will close the Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. Decision came after quote-unquote careful consideration and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout the transition. Once again, UW System is blaming the closure on enrollment, saying there are only 178 students left at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. And we've heard this narrative for going on 3 years. from when they first closed the Richland campus. But what they don't want to talk about, Jay Rothman, president of the system, what they don't want to talk about, Tony Evers in the governor's office, what most of the legislature doesn't want to talk about, both Republicans and Democrats, sans for State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat here in Madison, who has had the temerity and the courage and leadership to go out into the state of Wisconsin and meet with communities and meet with students and speak out about this. Former Democratic State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point did the same thing. But other than those folks, all silent. They announced these things on Friday. Nobody has a comment. Nobody has a press conference. Jay Rothman doesn't visit these communities. You don't see Tony Evers holding listening sessions in Baraboo on this. And meanwhile, higher education in the state is dying on the vine. The Wisconsin idea right now in this state looks a lot closer to the University of Wisconsin Badger football team. Partner dead. And what outrages me is they don't have the balls to go out and face the people of this state and tell them why they're doing it. They say it's enrollment. Give me a break. Because they don't fund the recruiters to get students there. I know this for a fact. There was a missing $1 million, allegedly, a missing $1 million in the Platteville Foundation fund after Dennis Shields left before Tammy Yovanovitch took over, and nobody wants to talk about it. And when I raised this to people, now one of them, Jeff Barrant, who's no longer with President Rothman, when I raise this to their face, they look at me and say, how did you know about that? Believe me, there is a lot more going on here that Wisconsinites, voters, and taxpayers don't know about. And all I'm asking for from Evers, from Jay Rothman, just be honest. We can take it. Just be honest. Because the real people being hurt are the students and the people that people trying to go back, non-traditional students to get their finish their degrees, people in rural Wisconsin trying to get a degree, just make them their lives better. Help themselves. Everybody wants to hide behind, you know, Friday evening, Friday afternoon press dumps. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick. Rick, you got about 2 minutes here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just remembering back when you and I were at Richland Center, and we had international students there. Ever since they decided to pair these two-year campuses with larger universities, the recruiting and stuff has gone down at these two-year campuses. They're not trying. And Platteville especially, they came out at the beginning and said they did not want to recruit for these two-year campuses.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right, Rick, and I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your listenership. And yeah, when we were going to the 2 years, these international programs, I just went to a celebration of life for my friend Linda Gentis, who ran the Central American Scholarship Program, international, a continuing education program. Vital necessities for these rural communities, for everybody, but particularly for small communities. By the way, Chris and Madison on the text line listening to us on WMDX said Dale Schultz is correct. Public education is only one example of Wisconsin's slide to mediocrity under the right-wing Republicans. I was once proud of my state, not anymore. And Chris, I don't disagree. I agree that a large part of this falls on the Republicans in the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee for not properly funding these things. But look, I'm being fair here. You got to assess some of the blame to the Democratic governor in the governor's office in the East Wing, Tony Evers. He could have drawn a line in the sand on this last budget deal for that. He chose not to. Look, that's his choice. All I'm asking for, Governor Evers, is just have the gumption to be honest with us. Just come out and say, look, I don't think we should have two-year colleges anymore. They've outlived their purpose. We're closing them all. Because that's where this is headed, by the way. There will be no two-year colleges left at the end of this culling connected to the UW system. They got rid of the map. Do you realize this? The official map of the UW system used to have the 13 four-years and 13 two-years. They redid the logo, changed the colors, changed the name, and they eliminated all of the 2 years off the map. You don't think that was a sign? Come on back after this. It's the Tahoe Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
U.S. is still in a bit of a tight spot when it comes to soybeans, with no buys coming from China and a large supply coming from the harvest. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and there is a lot of work being done to try to find some new markets. The United Soybean Board Director, Nancy Kavazanjian, is here to share a bit about how they're trying to get more soybeans into Africa.
In Africa, more than 70% of the farmers are women. So it is important to have other women farmers there to talk farmer to farmer. Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. It also is a major aquaculture market. It's a country that needs more protein to feed their markets and feed their people. So if we can show them how to do a better job of raising their fish more efficiently using soy, it's a win-win both for us because we're developing markets for soy and they're developing markets to feed their people.
Nancy Kavazanjian, the United Soybean Board Director. And as someone that likes both soybeans and fish, it just sounds like a great partnership that hopefully we can move forward on. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Maybe you remember finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too much carnival food. We all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to share the fair story. We're accepting entries now, and there are cash prizes. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. With spooky season here, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center will be extending their Halloween festivities to 2 days. The first day will be Saturday, October 25th, and the second day will be Friday, October 31st. When you're there, there's so much to do with treats, costumes, animals, corn maze, and lots of Wisconsin products. If you like this news and want more of it, make sure to download our brand new Midwest Farm Report app on your app store. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky for your Friday afternoon. Breezy southwest winds nearly to 25. Some showers looking likely, even a couple of thunderstorms into the late afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, showers and storms likely, lower 50s. It's 75 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20, make it 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 17th, 2025. A little out of voice today. I'll explain in just a little bit. Went to the doctor right before the show. It's one of these Todd stories. We'll get into that a little bit. First, I want to finish up these more serious things. Talking about the news breaking this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo at Sauk County campus. If you're not familiar, Sauk County is right below Wisconsin Dells. Most people know where Wisconsin Dells is at, Baraboo, just south of that. Going to close the campus at Baraboo after the spring 2026 semester. 178 students enrolled right now. And UW System says that is why they're closing it. They call it low enrollment. Which, by the way, as someone knows a little bit about this, as my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman dean of a campus in Wisconsin at UW-Richland and helped found the two-year campuses, one of the concepts was a smaller class size. More specialized attention. Okay, well, maybe they say the average class size at Baraboo is 14. When I went to UW-Richland, it was probably 25-ish, somewhere between 20 and 25-ish. Some classes have maybe 35. My problem with this is they're not being honest, and they haven't been for 3 years since they closed the first one at Richland County, because neither Jay Rothman, the president of the system, Tony Evers, or people from their administration will go on the – well, I guess Rothman sent one of his people out to Richland County. But these guys, as decision makers, as the heads, the executive, will not meet with their constituents, will not meet with taxpayers and explain what's really going on. And they don't fund recruiters to get kids to these schools like they did when I was going there. So if you're not funding recruiters, if you're the Republican legislature and you're not putting the money in there, just be honest about it. Again, where's Tony Evers' statement today calling Jay Rothman out? Haven't seen one. Don't think we will. By my count, we're on two-year school number 7 being closed. Have a town hall. Go online. Have an online hall. And have Republicans and legislative leaders sit down and explain their plan for the University of Wisconsin system. I think we're entitled at least to that. 855-752-4842. Gene, listening on try that again, Todd. It's been one of those days.
Okay.
I apologize, Gene. WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, you don't have to do that every time. I love your passion, your concern, and we're all blessed to have you on the air. I want you to know that.
But.
I have to say, not a but. That's a good thing. It really is. And people need to be aware of this because it's happening in every single area of our lives.
Our state.
It's happening with physicians. It's happening with hospitals. It's happening with schools. It's happening with businesses. It's happening everywhere. And I don't know where a person just picks, unfortunately, where they can go when we got people that are serving in our state where Scotty Walker came in and started cutting everything and doing exactly what Trump's doing in our federal government. And we got these Republicans who will not open the purse strings and help the people and do things for the people, which is really insulting and it's infuriating. Mm. So, you know, there's, you can pick something from every avenue of our lives, but we all need to fight back by protesting, by calling these people, and also by, you know, and have your voice heard and think of strategies and interview the people that are running and find somebody that's really going to stand out there and they're going to fight. Because I think there's a lot of people that are really getting pooped out from fighting the nonstop battles. And also, I want to say one more thing about sexual abuse. Very, very difficult thing to deal with. However,
The DPI story is a different story, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. And I worked with kids who were sexually abused, okay? And I worked in the school system, okay? But the thing of it is that, you know, I don't know how they do their background checks now, but they used to do really good background checks. They used to have a lot of people applying for the schools. Now there's all kinds of openings in the schools. So, you know, we need to get back to getting qualified people and good people there. And also we need to give this some time here because they cannot impact teachers who have not committed these crimes to get their name out there and all of a sudden, you know, they won't be able to teach ever again if they did not do it. So it's really, it's a scary thing, though, because this is alarming. So
let me ask you quickly, because you've worked in education and you're very astute. You pay attention to these things. Keep me honest. Do you think it is irrational or asking too much that our elected officials on both sides give us the truth about these campus closures? Because I think what's interesting about this is I don't hear anything from either side. This isn't, you know, the Democrats going after Robin Voss, the Republicans, for these two-year campus closures, or vice versa. They're both silent, and they're not criticizing each other, which to me seems very, very odd in these political times.
Well, let me tell you something. If I had a list of all the things that I have very strong concerns about, you know, I mean, where do you choose? Yeah. And how big of a population do you choose? And I feel really bad because they need help there. And the sooner we get good people in our government, maybe this will be able to rebuild from this. But we're blessed to have you on the air.
we're blessed to have you as a listener. Thanks, Gene. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Gene in Eau Claire, WCFW The Tap, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. John, listening in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, on WAUK, says this campus closure situation was all started with Ray Cross, i.e. Double Cross. I like that. This was their plan to make the four-year take the blame for not funding the UW system. Thanks, John. I appreciate your listenership. John is not wrong about that. We've talked about this on the show before. Ray Cross, who was the chancellor of the two-year colleges, the last one before they merged, and then he became president, and there was a thoughtful plan how to keep our two-year campuses, adapt them to changing times by, I guess, the final chancellor, Kathy Sandine. And Ray Cross, then as president, shelved that, didn't let it see the light of day, and went to the Board of Regents and the 4 years and said, all right, here's the deal. You're going to get these two-year campuses. You're going to get these two. You don't have a choice. And he literally, from people in the room, Ray Cross, as president of the UW system, told the four-year chancellors, quote, you're either going to sink or swim, unquote. That was the plan by Ray Cross. And clearly they're sinking. And then there's, as John points out, predominantly Republicans in the legislature underfunded the UW system. And this is where it gets weird. Tony Evers gets elected governor. Most governors appoint the Board of Regents. They're staggered terms. And so by this time now, Tony Evers had a majority of Democratic appointed Board of Regents. So the governor essentially gets to make the call at that point, who the assistant president is. And they allow Jay Rothman, former head of Foley & Lardner, huge law firm, Never had any experience in education, mind you. But the head of a law firm. You know what heads of major law firms, their main job is? Cut. Bottom line. Dollars. No emotion. And that's exactly what they got in Jay Rothman. So it seems like a very odd and disturbing set of bedfellows politically in this case when it comes to the closing of the two-year schools. Because you don't hear Democrats. I mean, where is the liberal Democrats today? Where are their press statements attacking Jay Rothman? I mean, they're smart people. They don't miss an opportunity. There's been six closures and now today seven. Other than Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin, crickets. Anyway, we'll keep following this story. Obviously, I'm passionate about it. We mentioned this earlier. If you did not hear Jane Matinair and Greg Bach and Dan Schaefer this morning on Matinair on Air, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. You can find it at civicmedia.us. They had an informative and good, in this case, I guess you'd say, discussion on this Capital Times story, reporting by Danielle DeClos at the Capital Times. Came out a couple days ago here. And it details a major problem at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction and Dr. Jill Underley. 200 teachers of sexual misconduct cases, grooming cases, were shielded from the public. And what's particularly disturbing to me, well, first and foremost, the alleged victims here. But secondarily, the fact that the newly elected Department of Public Instruction head, Jill Underley, will not talk about this. Refused to talk to the Capital Times. Her spokesperson, blaming it on Republicans, saying that, well, you know, we had a line item in the joint finance budget for $600,000 that would have looked at more of these types of things and addressed it. But Republicans voted it down. Fine. I blame the Republicans for that. But why in the heck? This is where Democrats are so bad at messaging. Because Republicans would have had in their satchels, a press or a handout if the joint finance would have voted that down and said, okay, here's the facts. This is why Robin Voss, the Republicans, and Howard Markline are not keeping our kids safe, because they just cut $600,000 that would have kept our kids safe. But we never heard that from Underley or anybody else at DPI until now. And if it got voted down by the Joint Finance Committee, why in the heck wasn't Jill Underley and DPI immediately calling for a separate bill, just like the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund people? That didn't get through Joint Finance, but they've launched a public campaign working bipartisanly in the legislature right now on two different bills to fund the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Underley on this? Crickets. I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Jill Underley will not survive this. That is my prediction. Because how can you, if you're somebody in the Wisconsin Public Education Network, or if you're somebody in WEAC, the largest teachers union in the state, how can you invite Jill Underley to your conventions and events until she answers these things? You can't. I think she'll be forced to resign. And in my understanding of Wisconsin law, Governor Evers will appoint a new superintendent. Because you can't justify this. And it's a very graphic and very heartbreaking article from the Cap Times. And yes, there may be, this is important, there may be some people that were falsely accused. And they should have, and in many cases, and by the way, the cases in this Cap Times story, they're over. We'll come back. We'll explain it more because this is really important. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
During Medicare's open enrollment, It's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome, where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, what broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with,
sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It's 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS News, weather, sports by a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And in hour number two, we have Craig Benzine and Ty Morse from the great new film, No Packers, No Life, going to talk about new screenings this weekend, trying to fit in a Wisconsin fun fact, what's worse. And then Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, comes in with a humorous look at the weekend review. Lots to get to, a short time to get there. Talking about this story, the Capital Times, a couple days ago. Again, if you didn't hear, go back and listen to Matt Nair on air this morning on civicmedia.us. Greg Bach, along with Jane Matt Nair and our political editor, Dan Schaefer, had a thorough discussion on this Capital Times story, or go to the Cap Times and read it yourself. Danielle DeKloss, a year-long investigation into the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Want to be clear, these were allegations against over 200 teachers, educators, aides, administrators, people in different school districts across Wisconsin that had misconduct slash grooming cases that were shielded from the public. Some very graphic, disturbing details in this. My understanding in reading this article is that these are individuals who had allegations, in some cases graphic, and Wisconsin law provides one of the things in there that if you give up your educator, if you give up your license, you don't have to basically be investigated any further. And so those some individuals did that. And there and the problem is, or the concern is, that these individuals are on a list at DPI and it was not shared. And when they gave up their license, it doesn't say why. So theoretically, they could be hired somewhere else. And there's a database list at Department of Public Instruction they've been sitting on and essentially forced the Capital Times to issue a Freedom of Information Act request to get this. In other words, tried to stop the press from getting this information. Because the only reason you file a information request, because you ask, is, hey, can I get this? No, not unless you file a request. And so that's very disturbing. And Dr. Jill Underly, no comment. And they're trying to blame it on the Republicans, saying, well, they were underfunded. Fine. But why didn't they immediately call for a bipartisan bill to fund this? Why did it take a Freedom of Information request to find this information out? And let me be clear about this. Republicans are already using this to go after all of public education. This is the problems with it, and politicize this. And let me also be clear, as someone who spends a lot of time with public educators and goes to a lot of these forums, there are teachers right now, and this is a real story, not anybody I know personally, but a teacher, educator saw a cell phone in the back of a student's pants, like in their jeans or whatever. And in that school, you're not supposed to have your cell phone in the classroom. The teacher said, hey, I see your cell phone. Please take it back to your locker. The father of that kid called the district the next day and said, why is that teacher looking at my kid's ass? That's where we're at on that side of it. So now you've got this story by the Cap Times and Jill Underly only making everything worse by not just being truthful about it up front. I don't see how she politically survives. 855-752-4842. Rick, if you could do it quickly, please. Rick in Waukesha on WAUK. Go ahead.
Okay. Frontline has a program about Paradise, California that burnt down 40,000 homes and a bunch of deaths. And before it happened, during and after it happened, and all of the groups involved, departments of government, different groups of the media, it started on Campfire Road, and the public thought it started by a campfire. It started by the electrical towers, and they couldn't get a fire truck to it when it was very little. Now, all of these groups explain all their reasons through this program, and it's all pointing fingers in a circle. It's every group, and then eventually the groups unite that it's nobody's fault.
So your point is that the historians of Wisconsin, we have to have more transparency.
No, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Now, this program was made like 4 years later, so they have all kinds of victims involved, interviews, and it's very well done. And this is how multiple groups program, and then eventually they cleanse themselves of their part, all as a group.
Appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you very much. Rick and Waukesha, NPAUK. Yes, it doesn't matter whether it's in California or Wisconsin. You need transparency, whether that's the EW system, whether that's Department of Public Instruction. You need transparency. Linda on the text line in Middleton, listening on WMDX here in Madison, says she was a charter member of the class, the charter class of BU, in other words, UW-Baraboo, said, so very sad. I met my husband there. It is disgusting. Whatever happened to the Wisconsin idea? Linda in Middleton, thanks. I appreciate that. On our leading story today of the UW-Baraboo campus closing in this announcement here this afternoon. Lots to get to. Obviously, I can have we'll work this in, try to, before the end of the show. The No Kings rally this weekend. Be careful out there if you're going, and be prepared if you're not, if you're watching, for lots of disinformation. I've got stories here about misinformation in Chicago, stories of misinformation in Oregon, where the federal government, it's been proven now, has manipulated video to try to justify use of force. So be careful what you see and hear this weekend from trusted news sources or otherwise. Let this play out. because there's going to be a lot of disinformation. I would say stay the heck off of social media this weekend as well. Look, one, two, I mean, I have stacks of news. So we could do 4 hours today, but we won't. We'll come back, though, after news, weather, and sports, and lighten it up a bit. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers, and Peter Rapine is along as well. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Talks at the White House between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky centered on ways to end Russia's war against Ukraine. Zelensky asking for long-range Tomahawk missiles, which President Trump says could be seen as an escalation, but also says a possibility he discussed with Russia's President Vladimir Putin yesterday in a phone call. When asked by reporters if he thinks Putin may want to meet with him in Hungary to buy more time and is playing him, the president responded.
I've been played all my life by the best of them. And I came out really well, so it's possible, yeah, a little time, it's all right. But I think that I'm pretty good at this stuff. I think that he wants to make a deal.
A day after a grand jury handed up an 18-count indictment.